today on Real Radio.
This Bible never would have been written by man and published and produced as man would do it, because man would have glorified himself. Man would have made himself look good. And it actually condemns the very man who, with quill or pen in hand, wrote it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It condemns him.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack in a message called What You Really Need to Know in These Last Days, as he continues his series called Combat Faith, A Study in 2 Peter. Nothing seems to stop Peter from living out his faith in Jesus Christ, not even his age. Peter is much older now than when he wrote his first letter to the church. Still, he's showing a determination that we all can take a lesson from, to have a resilient, unwavering, and effective kind of faith that can stand up against the godless age in which we live. Now, as we head further into chapter 2, we'll find God's prophetic timeline. It's in this portion of Scripture where all that we've seen and heard confirms to us that we're living in the last days. Jesus encouraged us to be watchful and to keep looking up, because we don't know the day or the hour of His return. The rapture of the church is yet to be fulfilled, and it can happen at any time. The believer's best hope for the future is that it will happen soon. So today on day 2 of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that the rapture is our great motivator to stay pure and to think of ways to respond to the Lord's coming with acts of love and good works. Our vision to get God's word out to the world and affect our local culture for Christ will leave a spiritual legacy that will continue even if Jesus doesn't return today. And now, in his message called What You Really Need to Know in These Last Days, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
This is a great, great bit of hope and encouragement to us. We shall not all sleep. The word sleep in the Bible refers to the believer's body at the time of death. Allow me to change it for our English language. We shall not all die, but we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we, Paul says, we shall be changed. That's how he's going to do it. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and I assume you do, maybe for some of you right now, you're hearing it for the first time. Well, Jesus Christ died on the cross for you, and he rose again from the dead. Even so, God will bring with him those who died in Jesus. Believers who, in these last 2,000 years, died trusting Christ. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who have died. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Their dead bodies will come out of the ground. Now, the believer, listen, previously to this moment right now, when a believer dies, their body goes into the ground, but their spirit goes to be with the Lord. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's at a moment, instant of time at death. You go to be with Jesus at the moment of death. Isn't that good news? If you're a believer, the Bible says that Jesus that is coming for the church is going to resurrect those dead bodies. They're going to get brand new bodies, resurrected bodies. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. It's the word rapture in Latin. If you don't have a Latin Bible, you have in English the words caught up. Harpazo in the Greek language, rapture in the Latin language. You're going to be caught up. The word means to be quickly, almost violently, we could say, in a twinkling of an eye, caught up to meet the Lord in the clouds, it says here, and to meet him in the air. And thus we shall always, listen, this is key, always be with the Lord. Well, where was that? Where is that? John 14, verses 1, 2, and 3. And the Bible says, therefore, comfort one another with these words. And I want to make that word familiar to you today. Comfort one another with these words. Christ is coming back. Are you ready to meet him? You say, I don't know if I am. Then trust Jesus, having gone to the cross and dying there for your sins. The Bible says he rose again from the dead. He died in your place, my place. All of our sins were covered by Christ at the cross. But listen, here's the fine print. It's very important. Not everyone benefits from the crucifixion of Christ. Not everyone benefits from the resurrection of Christ. That great gift given to man, for God so loved the world that he gave, gifted the world, his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That's a gift. But you must choose to receive that gift. Gifts are to be received. It's tragic if somebody sends a gift back. I mean, that has just got to be one of the most ultimate rejections, is for somebody to care enough to get you a gift and then for you to just throw it back. Return to sender in America is how that sounds. You just write across, you don't even want to open it. You just write, return to sender. And some people do that. Many people do that with the gospel. The gospel goes out and they say, I don't want it. No, listen, you need it. And believe me, when the day of separation comes and 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 is fulfilled, you're going to want to have that salvation of Christ. And here's another great reason why. In Philippians 3, 20, the Bible says, for our citizenship. Some of your translations say conversation. I think it's the old King James that might say conversation. I like that. For our conversation is in heaven. Think about that for a moment. Of course, the word is politic. That's why in other translations of the Bible, it says citizenship. Every believer has a passport for heaven. It's our conversation now. It's how we think. It's how we talk. It's how we live. From which we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're doing today. Who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body. That's that rapture event, that instantaneous changing that we heard about a moment ago. That twinkling of an eye transformation. According to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. What a glorious promise. Yes, the rapture of the church is a biblical doctrine. And I'm just covering a few verses. Number two in our study, let's keep going. It's this. What you and I really need to know in the last days is that the rapture is the believer's hope. Is the believer's hope. 2 Peter 2:9 says that he knows how to deliver. The word deliver means to extract or to take out of. It can be translated that he knows how to keep us through. But when we look specifically at the rapture, we know that it's a taking out of. For example, Noah was delivered out of the flood and carried above it. Daniel, listen, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, or you know them as Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Daniel is a picture of the church, if you think about it. When the judgment came and Nebuchadnezzar said that these Hebrew boys or men are to burn to death for their faith in God, Daniel's not even mentioned. Daniel's not even in the narrative. It doesn't explain where Daniel's at. And he was the ringleader of those guys. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fiery furnace, and the Lord protected them through it, but Daniel was not even mentioned in it. And that might be a picture of the church and Israel. The church is removed from the coming tribulation period, which we are not in, ladies and gentlemen. This is not the tribulation period. So much junk on the internet about the timing of things. But God has promised to take Israel through that tribulation period, and there's no mention of the church during that period of time. Why? Because we are to have hope as the believer right now in this day and age regarding the rapture. The Bible tells us in Titus chapter 2, verse 13, this is incumbent upon every Christian. This is not an option. Every believer must have this attitude. And by the way, if you don't have this attitude, you need to change it. Not the Bible, your attitude. You need to embrace what God is saying. Titus 2:13 says, looking for the blessed hope. The word means scanning. You are to be scanning, searching, watching the horizon, looking. Imagine right now, there are some few in the world, they have to be at work. The police are at work. The military is at work. The hospital's at work. Certain things are at work. While you're at work, you're to be scanning the horizon in your heart and mind, as it were, that Christ could come back today. It's the believer's hope. Most of the world is inside their house right now. And yet they're to be doing the exact same thing in the heart and in the mind. They're to be looking and scanning the horizon for the return of Christ, as it were, in their attitude and in their lifestyle. The rapture was, is, and will always be, until it happens, the believer's longed for hope. That Holy Spirit in you longs to get you home. It's an amazing time. The Bible says, and we've read this often together, I just want to point a few things out to you. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 and 14, we read it. For if we believe, verse 14, look ahead in 1 Thessalonians 4, 14. For if we believe, look at verse 15. For this we say to you, you can keep reading there, that we who are alive and remain, listen to Paul. He said we three times there now. Verse 17, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. That's the fourth time he says it in just a few verses. And by the way, remember, he's speaking 2,000 years ago. Every generation is to expect the blessed hope. And then finally, fifth time he says it, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Do you live like that? At any given time, he could come. It's exciting to think. Thirdly, if you're taking notes, mark it down. What you really need to know in these last days, according to verse 9, is that the rapture is the great motivator. It's a great motivator in our lives. And we know this is true in other areas of our lives, if you think about it. If we know something's coming, if we have an appointment, that motivates us. You and I have an appointment with the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about that. Now, I got to tell you, I love reading C.S. Lewis. I don't know if you're a C.S. Lewis fan or not. And I know there's some things in there that he says that's difficult sometimes. I'm not saying C.S. Lewis is inspired writing. I'm saying C.S. Lewis is a genius. And if you've never read him, you need to read him, and you need to begin with Mere Christianity. But in Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis, the famous atheist out of Oxford University at the time, wound up coming to Christ. And C.S. Lewis became one of the greatest defenders of faith, logic, and reason for the church in the 20th century. But one of the things that he said about Christianity after studying all the world religions is that he said Christianity could not have been made up. And then when he applied that logic to the entirety of the Bible, when he looked at Genesis all the way to Malachi, he concluded that the scriptures could never have been made up by man. And I want you to think about that the next time you look at the Bible. This Bible never would have been written by man and published and produced as man would do it, because man would have glorified himself. Man would have made himself look good. The Bible is the very, very book that God, the Holy Spirit, wrote through man without error. Think about that, with no mistakes. And it actually condemns the very man who, with quill or pen in hand, wrote it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It condemns him. If you had to pick a star nation out of the entire Bible, what nation is it? It's Israel. And yet everything about it is showing Israel's rejection of God's faithfulness, God's love, God's kindness. And yet the book ends and time ends with God saying that he will save Israel in the end. We have no promise. Listen, there is no promise in the Bible that Canada will be saved in the end. I have a lot of Canadian friends and I love Canada, but they're not going to be saved. America is not going to be saved in the end. There's only one nation that God promises in the Bible that is going to be saved through a time of great difficulty that is yet to come. And that one nation is the nation of Israel. And that is true from Genesis to Revelation. That's a powerful truth. You need to think about that. But the coming of Christ is a great motivator for the Christian. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, 1 John 3, verse 2, "Beloved, now we are children of God." I love that. "And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be," technically what we shall be like. Will we be tall? Will we be short? Will we be, hey, I don't know, except this, it means resurrected. It means this body of Jack's, yours, will be resurrected. Now look, I'm going to interrupt myself obviously here in the reading of this verse. I'll come back to it in a second. I sure hope and I assume that when I'm resurrected from the dead physically, that all of the things that were of the sinful world are washed away. I don't believe that someone who was born without a leg, as an example, will be resurrected with one leg. I believe all the ramifications of sin will be revealed, and you will stand in perfection on the day of resurrection. He says, and he goes on, "But we know this, that when he, Christ, is revealed, we shall be like him." Well, what does that mean? Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. Listen, this is awesome. God inhabited a human body. The psalmist said, "A body you have prepared for me." That's a messianic psalm. We're speaking of the Messiah. That, in fact, Israel, listen to this. God would prepare the Messiah of Israel a human body. You say, well, everybody has a human body. The Messiah doesn't until he gets one. And the Bible says he gets one, or he got one, when he came into this world, born of a virgin. "We shall be like him," says the Bible, "for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." Listen, more than ever, you want motivation? You want to hear a word right now? I'm going to tell you. You want to be motivated? The Lord could come back at any time, and I'll tell you this right now. Listen, you want a motivator? The Bible says if you believe Christ could come back, that motivation is a result or resulted in a life being lived in righteousness. The word righteousness intimidates us, and it shouldn't. The word righteousness means that we decide to do the right thing. We make the right decision. We ponder, we pause, we hold off, and then we do the right thing. That's righteousness. All around the world, people have been stripped from entertainment in some ways, and they're with family. Did you know that's doing the right thing, by the way? Feeding your neighbors, checking on the elderly in your area the best you can, helping them, caring for them. Righteousness is to do the right thing. But don't think that you can do the wrong thing and go to heaven. Don't think that you can say that you're a Christian and go about doing the wrong thing and expect to go up in the rapture. Christians will go up in the rapture. He's coming for his own. And the understanding that he could come at any time is a great motivator, because the fact of the matter is this, that because if Christ could come back at any time, I want to have my hands on that which glorifies God. I want to have my money invested in the things that glorify God. I want to spend my time in things that will glorify God. That is very important. So the great rapture is a great motivator. Should be an inspiration. Should cause vision. It's interesting to to consider. Think this for a moment. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, the Bible there says, and I'm going to read this portion out of the New Living Translation. It's not an actual Bible verse. It is a translation of a Bible verse. But it's clear right here. Hebrews 10, 24 starts there by saying, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and of good works. Verse 25, and let us not neglect our meeting together. Don't neglect the gathering or the meeting together as some, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. That verse implies, listen, I'm going to pause for effect. That verse assumes that you are looking for his coming, that you look around the world and you sense something's up. Listen, Romans 13, verse 11. And do this, that's a command. Do this, the Greek word is a command. Do this, knowing the time, that now it is the high time to awake out of sleep, that is out of apathy. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Listen to this. The night is far spent. 2,000 years have gone by. I'm going to submit to you right now that the night is far spent. And the day is at hand, says the Bible. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. That's how you be ready, and that's how you get ready, by the motivation that Christ is coming. Fourthly, under this, regarding the church and you and I in these last days, and what you and I really need to know is that the rapture promotes holy living. Sounds much like the other about motivation, but holy living. He says in verse 9 of 2 Peter, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. What a tremendous statement.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Radio, in his message called What You Really Need to Know in These Last Days. Thanks for joining us today. What You Really Need to Know in These Last Days is part of Pastor Jack's series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter. It's a series about the Apostle Peter, whose life was transformed by the salvation of Jesus Christ and whose passion was to live out his faith as a messenger of the gospel. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, the more we discover about Peter and what the Bible says about his character and belief system, the more the impact he'll have on us in defending our faith. So, in your journey for the truth, it's important to Pastor Jack that you also know who he is and what his faith mission is all about. Simply go to our website, jackhibbs.com. Once you're there, you'll find information about Pastor Jack's ministry, his statement of faith, the many ways you can follow him on social media, and how to connect and send your own gift of support if you'd like to do that. It's all right there for you to discover when you go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Does it seem as if our country has lost its moral compass? Are you as concerned as I am that our nation's freedoms are declining instead of thriving? Well, Pastor Jack's book of the month for June is called Samuel Adams, A Life by Ira Stoll. This fascinating biography on one of our founding fathers is sure to both inspire and motivate you to help preserve America's Christian values. Thomas Jefferson called Adams the spirit of the Revolution. When a British general offered Samuel Adams great wealth to end his cause for liberty, Adams' response was, "I serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I need no king." Yet we've all but forgotten him. This is why Pastor Jack wants us to know about Samuel Adams and to be that intentional in our fight to maintain our God-given freedoms. Ira Stoll not only restores Samuel Adams to his rightful place in history, but gives the reader new insights into this uncompromising man of God. Samuel Adams, A Life by Ira Stoll. It's available at our website, jackhibbs.com, for a gift of any amount, so be sure to order your copy right away. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.